Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Dubs, your one-stop destination for footy news and dubs. Yeah, that's Amy Walsh. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
She's got like a pirate sweater. All frilly.
Okay, it's like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
This is my Buffy shirt.
It's a nitty Buffy shirt.
You liar. I heard that.
Hey, Amy, if anyone can wear a Puffy shirt on this podcast, it's you.
Oh, thanks.
And then Jimmy. It's going to be a big show today, though, I think.
Are we recording?
Yep.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Here we are. They see that big red box in the corner there saying live.
Yes.
That means we're recording.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Mark Noonan, CPL Commissioner, CSB CEO, joining us later in today's show, which should be interesting. Craig just jumps up, and now we know that Craig doesn't wear pants when he's doing the podcast.
I don't think we really needed confirmation.
No, that's true. It was a pretty good guess, though, wasn't it? Oh, boy.
Well, he's back, and the last we saw Craig on our platform recording was his ham and eggs as he turned around. Do you remember that?
No.
We didn't need to see his ham and eggs at the back end. It's recorded. It would be going like this could be some blackmail opportunity.
It'll come in useful at some point anyway.
More like pink mail.
Welcome back, Greg. So how was the big show? We spoke to you obviously before. You're on your way out to catch the bus. You got the bus, obviously. From what we saw from the footage, looked great. You had some pretty big names out there. How did you enjoy it?
It was really good. It was surprisingly cold. I don't know if it was 10 degrees. It was really chilly. It caught everybody by surprise. That was not what it was supposed to be like. But all in all, the event was really, really interesting. All, you know, the presidents from everywhere were there, obviously Canada, U.S., Mexico, and former presidents. Jason DeVos was down there as interim general secretary. He looks a little bit overwhelmed at the moment by what's hitting him all over the head. But Peter Montalpi's going to try to ease the pain, I think, for Jason a bit moving into that because Peter's a great man, and he's going to try to make sure these guys are successful in what they do. So all in all, being part of that, it seems like we switched, turned the page, and it's just like, whoa, now it feels kind of real all of a sudden. That's kind of interesting, and that's obviously what the intent of the event was, because they didn't pull any punches as far as spending money.
Who are you most excited to see?
Owen Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
does he talk like he does in the movies? Does he talk the way he does in the movies? That's a bad impression. Sorry, that's a really bad impression.
Yeah.
Like, is that how he talks? He's got a great voice, Owen Wilson.
He's got a good voice.
A recognizable voice. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Memorable.
Who are you talking about?
Ronaldo was there, obviously.
Oh, look, he showed up.
Eating chips. Yep.
Eating chips and his green stuff. So Ronaldo was there, like the real one, the original one. But what was more impressive, and I know Amy got a little bit starstruck just by seeing the picture of you and Danny from Ted Lasso.
What a life.
Nice guy he was.
He annoys me.
Of course he does. Why, Jimmy? Why does he annoy you? Why does Danny, the nicest guy in that room outside the...
He just shows up and you're like, oh, he annoys me.
He does. That character just annoys me. Football is happy.
Is there any teammate of yours that you can compare to Danny?
I don't think so, no.
Amy?
Do we have anybody like Danny for us?
Who's banging around? Wait a second. Who's banging around? Is that you, Jimmy?
No, look, I'm cleaning my glasses. No, you are.
What's going on? There was like someone smashing little rubber fingers together or something. You know those little rubber fingers?
No.
To turn pages, like librarian sticky fingers.
1986?
Yes, that's right.
Why don't you like Danny? I mean, what's the deal?
I just don't like his character. He bugs the hell out of me.
Hello. I hear.
Hey.
Good morning.
Can you guys hear that?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Mom, you're on Footy Prime.
Hi, Footy Prime. How you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
I thought I had my mic on mute. I apologize.
Your son's beloved, by the way. Your son is the best dude I've ever met in my life.
Okay. I'll call you later, Mom. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Mom.
Sorry, guys. Man.
This is Footy Prime encapsulated right now. We're going in a million directions, including JC's mum calling in. So back to the question that we're posing here. Jimmy, what is it about the character you dislike so much?
He just annoys me. He really annoys me. He just plays that stupid role, you know, bubbly all the time. Football is life. And I don't know. It's the one character that drives me nuts. You know, on all shows, there's always one character that drives you crazy.
So much for getting them all on the show, I guess.
Well, I'll counter that with, I love him. I think he's great. And I think there's always somebody on your team who's that. Maybe not like a 10 on 10, like always positive like he is. But there's always somebody who, despite results, despite what's going on with their own personal playing time or their role in the squad, is always effervescent and bubbly. It's not Jimmy. We know that.
There's nobody that's ever like that Danny guy. There's no way anybody's ever played with anybody like that guy. He would drive you mental in a dressing room.
Everybody loves him. Ronaldo wanted a picture with him. Him and Campos were having pictures with him.
That's amazing.
They didn't
Did Danny know who Ronaldo was? Is he a football fan in real life or just an actor?
Yes.
Yeah?
Big time. Big time. Absolutely.
Well, it begs the question, Amy, who was your bubbly? Who is your bubbly teammate?
I'm trying to think of who it would have been. The person who comes to mind who wasn't exactly Danny, but who's always positive, but in a slightly more muted way, was Amy Vermeulen. So she's Evan called her Amy V, and so then she called me Amy Double V, and which I always thought was funny. Clearly, you guys didn't. But she was just always.
Oh, got it.
Always
now.
Just even keel, no matter what happened, and always not the loudest or the brightest and screaming football is life, but just you always knew that she'd be smiling and could be there for a little like subtle quick word in your ear to pick you up. And there's always somebody like that. It's not necessarily gonna be like right in your face, but there's always someone who's that positivity, right?
It's like charms.
Yeah, precisely. I'm definitely the Danny of this podcast.
I just like that Amy got in. Amy, if Amy got in and this was quoted, it would be Amy Vermeulen, not the brightest.
Yes, I heard that too. Yeah. Wait a minute. That's not very nice.
No, so let's just get this straight. She's super smart, and she also had a double scholarship. She went to Wisconsin for hockey and soccer.
Wow. She made the wrong choice.
Heck of an athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. So when's Danny coming on the show?
He's not now.
No, he's done.
Why?
He's going to go over
it, so you're not there. You're like, yeah, I'll come on that show, but that Jimmy Brennan guy can't be there.
Well, I'd ask questions. Why are you so goddamn bubbly all the time?
That's why you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't be able to ask the questions. Because he would come on the show only if you weren't there.
Yeah, but then he might turn around and go, I'll be honest with you, I hate playing this bubbly fucking guy all the time. It drives me nuts.
He could be like Robin Williams, right? For the cameras, this effervescent, crazy guy, but deep down hiding a dark secret and had this dark passenger on his shoulder at all times, ended up killing himself.
Oh, fucking hell, Charms.
Well, I'm just saying, you opened the door there. Some of these characters, you know, people who are, you know, outwardly overly positive and rambunctious, and like, often they're hiding something. That's all I'm saying.
It's like Modern Family. Was there the one guy, the ginger guy, drove me nuts as well in it.
Cam, his husband was much funnier, I found.
Oh, he was hilarious.
He's brilliant. Yeah.
My oldest is rewatching all those shows now.
They're great.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's outstanding comedy. Who was, okay, so we've gone through Danny, who was a Danny on your teammates. Who was Roy Kent? Did you have a Roy Kent? Just that belligerent, angry, soul-searching, but multi-layered individual.
Lots of them. Lots of those ones. I think a prime one would be Paul Stalteri. Egypt can just suck the life and soul out of you. Like, there's no tomorrow.
I sat just a couple feet from him last week.
Yeah.
Took like a subtle photo. I was like, you guys, just Stalteri?
Yeah.
I could see Paul Stalteri being Roy Kent, now you mentioned it, 100%. Even looks a bit like him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The worst was when him and Marco Retta were together, I couldn't hang out with them. They're like, come sit down. I'm like, no. You're just sucking the life out of me. I can't.
Marco was too. I thought he was pretty positive.
Oh, miserable.
Really?
Miserable.
He was always a great interview.
Yeah. Then when you sat down with him in Stalley, they can drain you. Lovely fellows, lovely guys. I grew up with them since I was like 10 years old. But
okay, Craig, how are these guys?
Festivus? Sorry, Sean.
It is a little bit, isn't
it? It's like Jimmy airing of grievances, don't you think?
Yeah, he's woken up in a certain mood, hasn't he? That's for sure.
Yeah, he has. He's wrong side of the bed.
Jimmy Sharms this morning.
I know. Normally, I'm kind of bubbly.
No, you're not.
I don't know what it is today.
You're not bubbly.
You might be the least bubbly person in the podcast, actually. I think I get a bad rap.
Yeah.
You're more miserable than me.
I don't think so. I really don't. You created this image of me being miserable. It used to be Deitch. Yeah. He was the miserable one, right? And you kind of put this label on me. I don't think it's true. I think you're way more miserable.
Go to a vote.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, the hands up if I am more miserable than Jimmy. Oh,
you guys are a bunch of losers.
Honestly. Let it show. Wait, not only that, let it show that. Let it show that Jimmy voted for himself, the only person.
That's right. It's the only positive thing he's done so far today.
No kidding. Jeez. Well, maybe you'll bounce back and we get to talk some CPO with Mark Noonan later on. Especially if we get to talk about York, you'll be feeling great about that, I'm sure. Amy, like, so it's News and Dubs, and we're talking on the dark web, and often I found over the years on this podcast, you know, the ex-players will throw out something that to them is just normal, but to us, you know, fanboys, oh, holy crap, that's amazing, that story's incredible. And you just dropped on the dark web this week, oh yeah, 2008 Olympics, yeah, I was there, and I watched the Messi dominance winning gold medal. I saw the semifinal and the final, and you got pictures of that match. And you just like just off the cuff mention it like it's nothing. Do you know what a big freaking deal that is? It's incredible.
Yeah, well, and we knew it at the time. Like we saw the semifinal and the final. Like I don't even remember who they beat to win gold. But that was Messi's first like real hardware, right? Like his first real kind of medal, like something of significance. And he was still so young. It was kind of like really long hair, floppy. And actually, we saw them around the village. I didn't so much get the photos with them, but Robin Gale went around and she had photos with Ronaldinho and she had photos with Messi and she had photos with, God, who's the right back who had like the big afro when he played right back for Real Madrid for so long. He just retired.
Oh, Marcelo?
Not too long ago. Marcelo. Yeah, with Marcelo. He was up like he had his eye on a couple of girls on a team and I ended up kicking him out of our our dwelling. I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like I wasn't very impressed with him. But yeah, we that semifinal, I remember standing with hundreds, if not thousands of fans trying to get in. I don't know if they blew it. They underestimated how many people were going to be interested in coming to this match. But like, I legitimately feared for my life there. Like, I remember being next to Rian and Diana and like getting crushed and like pulling people up, like as the crowd surged towards the gate. But then once we were in there, like, I think we knew what we were witnessing. So like, there's a couple of photos even, I don't know if I send it over, but Maradona was there. He was in the stands and like a couple of duels, like where actually Ronaldinho was going up against Messi. Like it was an amazing game. And then they went through and then it was just a foregone conclusion that they were going to win gold. But that was like one of my favorite parts of that Olympics was obviously not getting eliminated. But then that week that we had after we got punted out of the tournament, where we got to be part of that Canadian contingent and we got to be fans and we got to see like track and field competitions and you got to see, my God, my brain's not working. The fastest man alive.
What's his name?
Yes, Usain Bolt. Got to see him, like Cara and I sitting, like we had like trackside and watching him run and break a world record. Like is insane. So like some of my coolest memories are from that week that we had after we got eliminated.
That and cock blocking all your friends from.
Yeah, can we go back to that? Thank you, Craig. Let's go back to that.
So, why would you do that?
Yeah, like who is he playing
there? I'm not naming names.
Come on.
You know what? Here's the thing, guys. Think about when someone is so negative. It was Amy.
No.
Amy hooked up with Marcello, and she doesn't want to admit it.
No, it was those guys preying on younger women on our team who didn't
they were
know
young
better.
Too.
Who had stars in
they
their
were
eyes.
Young. They had to be under 23.
Yeah. Just kids, Marcello was back in those
days.
Well,
I know, but you know, a guy who
is all above board,
handed everything, women included.
I guess I
was a bit mother hen-ish. Like, get out of the bedroom.
I want to hear. So, this is the best thing ever, though. You literally threw Marcello out of a hotel room.
Yeah, well,
did he flop?
Like our dormitory, basically, like our common area.
Did you ask him for his jersey after you threw him out?
Did I ask him for what?
His jersey after you threw him out?
No, I didn't want his autograph either. He was like, no, and like trying to talk to me. And I was like, I know who you are. I don't want your autograph. Get the fuck out.
Was he wearing
I'll meet
jersey?
You in the car. I'll meet you in the small car in the back.
Yeah.
Wow, what a freaking, what's the word? Teetotaler, that's the wrong word. The party pooper. Having a good time.
Yeah, but like, you know, you're the older player. You have to look out for the younger people on
the team. Marcello is 8 out of 10 is 10 out of 10.
Like you see him as a 10 out of 10?
It would have been a 10 out of 10 if you let him in the room.
As opposed to Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
He wasn't being pesty, Ronaldinho?
We didn't see him.
No?
No, it was more like walking to the food court and you'd see him.
Eating an apple through a tent.
There was one time that we ran into Rafa Nadal and it was Cara and somebody else, like the good looking girls on the team. And then he walked past, we're like, hey Rafa, like how are you? And like just shook his hand and then he said to his whoever his compatriot, whoever he was walking with, and he was like, Canada. And he was like pretty impressed with the girls on our team.
And then what did you do, Amy? Did you tell Rafa to get the hell out too?
Yep. I said, move along. Keep it going.
Yeah, jog on, Rafa.
Well, Cara ended up marrying a multimillionaire baseball player, didn't she? So
she sure did.
Yeah.
Yep. Three kids now. Living out
Ricky Romero, right?
He's still getting paid.
I think he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Signed that big contract, yeah. Then it all went wrong for him, didn't it? But they're great stories, though. I love those Olympic stories. I mean, what is it like in that village? I mean, okay, we're fully prime here, so let's just be, you know, clear and obvious. It sounds like a big fuck fest.
It is. There's lots of condoms circulating.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, lots of walks of shame as well.
Getting healthy, young, good-looking people together. It's like freaking. Was it called one of those Big Brother? No, not Big Brother. What's the island one? You know the one.
Like MILF Island. Or like Fantasy Love Island or
Love Island.
Love Island. Yeah. Love Island. Yeah. 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 Basically
sponsored by Durex.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've watched those.
I have.
Right? You made your way through Below Deck. What are you watching now? Probably something like that.
No, I haven't really found anything yet. But I used to watch The Bachelor.
It's kind of the same thing.
Every Tuesday.
Basically the same thing.
Bit of Vino.
I just like that. I just like the mutual recognition of the walk of shame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're, I've done it before, 2 in the afternoon in Montreal. You've woken up, you look like shit, and you're trudging across the snow. And then you see that other girl that you also know from your class, and you cross each other.
The cursory like, oh, nod.
Yeah, exactly. You go, yes, walk of shame. You're not going to the library. You're you're literally.
It's a terrible walk, isn't it? And you walk out and you're like, thanks, Barbara. That was a great night. She's like, it's Stacy. You're like, okay. See you later.
Yeah, the only thing that's saving you maybe, or the saving grace when you're in the Olympic Village is everybody's kitted out in the team colors, right? So you're rotating through, I don't know, 5 outfits. So the walk of shame, the timing of it, you know, the bleary-eyed look, the also the shameful look in your eyes is a giveaway, but it's concealed a little bit by wearing the same clothes, not as apparent, right? Because you're still in the same shorts and t-shirt that you probably would have worn anyway the next day. So you have that in your favor.
And they were backwards.
Wasn't it the same boat?
Inside out.
And your hair is a mess.
Yeah.
The same boat. Didn't he stumble upon the Swedish volleyball team or something like that? He was in the hot tub with them, partying with the Swedish volleyball team.
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Same boat. My God. What a legend.
Did he call it a hot tub? A hot tub.
Forget about his world records. He's sitting in the hot tub with a Swedish
woman. Well, that was a world record too.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't shag the way he runs, because that'd be awfully quick, wouldn't it?
That's true.
Not a great start, but a great finish.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes through the whole Swedish team in 2 seconds. Yeah.
Boy.
9.58. Yeah.
Thank you.
Literally takes him a while to get up.
Yeah.
So tall. It does. Right? You watch the same
ball run. Those are sprinting arms? What's happening?
Yeah, same ball sprinting arms. Yeah. He does. You watch him sprint. He's so big. He's 6'5", right? For a sprinter, so big. So his starts are never great. Takes him a while to get up into his, and then by about 30, 40 meter mark, boom, gone. Just takes over, right?
Yeah.
That's the most incredible athlete I've ever seen in my life. It really is. Like you see great athletes, you know who they are, but I don't think anyone has like just made me go, holy crap, this guy is just on a different planet. The way he moves, a guy that size, he just is just staggering.
I want to see him run backwards.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you say he's the best athlete ever. And it's like, well, can he run backwards?
I bet he can pretty well, but let's get him on the show and ask him. They should have backward sprints at the Olympics. That should be the new thing.
Yeah. Why not? And didn't they have him out on a pitch?
I was going to say.
I don't know if he tried out, but he went and had fun, and he didn't look completely out of place or anything. He looked like he was.
He's a huge fan. He's a huge United fan. Man United fan. Massive. He's trained with them before. Mm-hmm. And I think he did try out. Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, oh, when I retire, I want to become a professional footballer. Never going to happen. But it's good.
They kept playing him the feet. He's like, no, play me in the space.
But remember when Ben Johnson and Maradona hooked up because Ben Johnson was going to help train him?
He trained him, yeah.
Trained Maradona. I'm just like, what kind of chemicals were going on with those two?
He also trained Omar Gaddafi's son.
That's right.
He was a professional footballer.
That's where we saw him. We played Libya and we walked in a hotel and Ben Johnson was there.
No way. Really?
Came over, had a chat with us.
Yeah.
Gaddafi's son was playing in that game, right?
Yeah, that was remember the substitution? It was the longest substitution in the world where he went and shook everybody's hands. He wouldn't.
Everybody's hand on every team and the referees and
every player. We looked at the referee, we're like, hey, get him off. And the ref looks at us like, are you having a fucking laugh? You tell him to get off. We're like, okay. So he shook everybody's hand, his own players, went to the official, went to the ref's assistants, both sides, down to both goalkeepers.
Concessions.
I'm telling you should see the video. It was the longest substitution you've ever seen in your life.
And were they winning? Were they leading at that point? Was it strategic, at least?
We won.
Okay.
But it was ridiculous. Nobody said anything to him. You couldn't, because you would probably not leave the stadium.
I actually interviewed Ben a couple of times, and the last time I interviewed Ben was at his spiritual advisor's mansion, right? This huge, great place. And after the interview that night, I got an email from his spiritual advisor saying that he had literally just spoken to God, and he's got a message from God to me about, thanks for the interview. I know you'll do right by Ben, and you're a good person. We'll do well in life.
We need a donation stat.
Yeah.
That went to shit, didn't it, Charms?
Yeah, but clearly, if ever there's evidence there's no God, there you go.
Hey, look at your glasses. They're not weird, askew. Though.
No, these are my old ones.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I know. Different prescriptions. I've got a terrible headache right now.
Oh, no. You looked hilarious in the last episode, though.
I know.
He looked like Austin Powers after he shagged.
Well, now you mention it. Listen, we've got Mark Noonan coming up in a few minutes. So he gets us some footy picks.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
DJ Melody.
It's footy picks. All right, footy picks. Lots of games. Courtesy Fubo TV. This weekend, the Prem down to its penultimate weekend. I love that word, penultimate weekend. That means the one before the last.
Word. Yeah.
It's great. There'll be some midweek games as well, obviously, some teams and games in hand. But some biggies. Hey, Amy, were you doing the Montreal game midweek, the Cincinnati game?
No, I was on pregame only.
Oh, just pregame, okay. So Montreal this weekend up against the Red Bulls, who tied TFC 0-0 in a dour affair midweek.
Was it?
Yeah. 0-0. I mean, listen, they didn't lose. I suppose there's that. But, I mean, if you look at the starting 11, I mean, my word. Richie was great, by the way, once again.
Team of the week.
But that's really about it. It really is. The 11 was just destroyed. He his loan deal's up, eh, pretty soon.
Yeah, in June.
Yeah, in June. Be interesting. There's no buyback option. I mean, there's obviously they can buy him. But it'd be interesting to see what Forest do.
Speaking of, before that, let's get Richie back on the show. Who had his email?
We
had him on the show when he was at Forest.
Yeah.
We got to get him back on.
Yeah.
No, we definitely do.
We can try, absolutely. I'm not sure he wants to talk right now. I mean,
if Larea goes, TFC's in trouble. He's the only one Creighton thinks.
Yeah. He's a right back, by the way.
The only right one back who you're relying on.
I get the feeling, though, that Bernadeschi adores him. Not only his play, but I think there's like a real kinship there.
Because he does all the running for him.
I think he likes him, though.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a pretty likable guy, isn't he, Richie? I mean, I don't know, aside from this podcast and a couple of interviews, but one of those teammates, he seems pretty popular, right?
He's a lovely guy. Lovely guy, yeah. Richie.
So, anyway, so TFC are in the action against Austin, Red Bulls, Montreal, Vancouver, Seattle. First place, Seattle. Do you want to start with MLS and give us some picks here, people? Start with you, Craig. What do you think?
Well, TFC seem to be on just very good opportunities to pick up on draws. They've drawn a lot of games, not winning many. So I like the draw.
Let me see what this is paying. Let me find this. Hang on.
Yes, 3-6.
Where is MLS? Why can't I find MLS?
2-1.
And I think CF Montreal, they beat Red Bulls in April 2-0, kind of that beginning of that run where they were unbeaten on the 2-0 scoreline. But Red Bull, since they sacked Struber, they've got a win in U.S. Open Cup, and they won the New York Derby. They beat NYCFC. So they're on the up. So it's going to be a tough away game for CF Montreal. So I think I like the draw there as well. I know we avoid my link with the club and laying bets, but I think the climate and the atmosphere around the team, I think they bounce back after that loss to Cincy, and they have a better performance in New York.
Yep, there's always good value in draws, right? Plus 250 in that one against New York this weekend. When you start wrapping in over or under, you can start getting some better value, of course. Low scoring one, under 2.5, combined with a draw in that one, that'll pay you plus 310. So that is worthwhile. As for TFC, they are plus 275 dogs in this one against Austin. Austin minus 109. And Craig, you mentioned drawing that one plus 265.
Mm.
So another 0-0 would get Vancouver. You...
Oh, sorry, Sherms. I think Vancouver's in tough against Seattle. That's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, Vancouver, a couple of losses now, right, on the hop?
I can't see them winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they're at home, right? Seattle are plus 215 to win that one. And Vancouver is plus money, right? Just shows how good Seattle is, right, at home.
Seattle aren't actually killing it this year, though, are they?
In first place.
Oh, yeah.
First place in the division. Third overall in the whole league. So they're doing okay.
Yeah, doing they're on fire. They're doing really well this year.
You know what? TSC is still the odds on to finish the best of the Canadian teams, plus 110.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is back in October 20th. This is interesting, actually. October 20th is including playoffs. You can get Montreal at plus 275 to be the best of the Canadian teams.
Mm.
That might be something you look at because these are dated, these odds.
Yeah.
They got no chance until they get all their players back.
No, exactly. But it's a long season. And like we said before, they're on, 13 points, I think it is? Still just, a handful of points away from the playoffs.
Yeah, it's tight. You get two wins, you're back up there.
You also have to look with the addition or the insertion of that month-long Leagues Cup and how that might swing things, right? So it's always been the argument in MLS, the season's long. So no matter how you start, no matter how you're faring, even now, mid-May, that you still kind of have a chance, especially now with the expanded playoff positions. But mm-hmm. then you add in that month. So for a team like TFC, who's struggling so much, not only with form, but especially with injuries, that might be a huge help.
That's a great point, yeah. And listen, also, players available who are out of contract in Europe end of June, right? So it could be, I don't know what they have money-wise right now. They say they're all capped out, and they are capped out, but are they tapped out? There's always ways to find holes in that agreement to get more players in, right? And if they are desperate, they can always find some more talent, as can any team in MLS later in the summer. Premier League-wise, Forest Arsenal is pretty interesting, eh, Jimmy, don't you think?
Yes.
Massive for both teams, right? Arsenal lose, then City win the championship, right? So,
Jimmy, are you okay? Are you all right today?
I'm all right.
You are? Okay.
A little bit sleepy.
Jarvis just said capped out and tapped out. That could apply to you today, I think. Could either sponsor the Walk of Shame at the Olympics, or it could be sponsoring Jimmy Brennan today.
Capped out and tapped out. That was the same bolt, too, after the Swedish volleyball team excursion, I think.
I fancy a draw.
Yeah, you do, huh?
Yeah, I fancy a draw. I think they'll get something out of it.
You need more than that, do you not?
No, I think a draw will, and we're good for survival.
Okay.
Well, it's actually fine to play Arsenal.
It's a good time to play against Arsenal. Absolutely, it is. Because they know they're done. They're not winning it now.
I think it's going to be a crazy game. A chaotic game, don't you? I mean, listen, like I said, Arsenal, they can't lose. They've got to win this thing to stay, have any chance of holding on, even though it's probably not going to happen. Forest, listen, they're desperate. A win and 37 points, I think probably safe, right?
Sure,
last time they played, Arsenal won 5-0. It's at Forest, much better team at home are Forest. So if you take Arsenal winning this and over 3.5 goals, which I think is quite possible given, all the form, that's plus 210. That's pretty decent money. But yeah, I can see absolute chaos in this one.
Yeah,
I hope to see chaos in this one.
I think it'll be a great match.
Any other games you want to get to in this footy picks edition?
Well, Leeds West Ham, that's going to be a good one, isn't it, Forrest?
Leeds, yeah, with Sam coming back to West Ham. I think West Ham was concerned with that before they got the Manchester United result with that win. Now it's not so important. West Ham can concentrate now on the Conference League final.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, Leeds have to win it, right? They've got to win it. It's plus 188 for Leeds to win this one on the road. It's probably a pretty good time to put some money on Leeds, actually.
What are they paying, Sharps?
Plus 188.
That's not great value, though, is it?
It's still decent, but I mean, for a game this close with what Leeds have to play for, and West Ham, like you said, they've they're safe and they've got a bigger fish to fry in the Conference League. Coming off a Thursday tilt, there'll be some players rested. I can definitely see Leeds picking up a really important 3 points in that one.
Yeah, I could too.
By the way, Craig, you posted it, the skirmish, more than a skirmish, actually, the AZ Alkmaar match at the Whistle and the ultras from Alkmaar trying to get into the friends and family section of the West Ham support. And there's this, he looks like such an EastEnder. He's called Nolsey. Nolsey. Yeah. Well known in the fan base, just laying in the boot in and keeping these guys off. All these balaclava guys in black. And there's this big old East Londoner not having it at all. Not to condone violence, but in this situation, he had to. He had to get physically involved. And it was incredible.
It was incredible because obviously if there was five of them could get at Nolsey at one time, he would have been down and out. But because he was at the top of this narrow staircase, there's 100 or so of these balaclava, they're just hooded young guys coming up the stairs, and he's rinsing one guy out after another. He took a couple, but then he would just lay them out, and there were guys falling down the stairs. I mean, he's a fucking superhero, isn't he?
It was amazing. A huge boiler on the guy too. Not athletic at all, but he had his hands on either railing and then just leaning in, kicks to the balls, like just doing everything, right? Laying the boots on these guys.
Yeah.
They're the guys, though. They're the Hobman, right? The true Hobman.
He was ill recently, and Declan Rice actually, a few months ago, I think, put out a note to him just to wish him well, blah, blah, blah. And all the fans that know him so well, they say they've never seen him raise a finger on anybody. They say he's the nicest bloke in the world, but he obviously knows a little bit of boxing from when he was younger. And he's not the fittest lad, but he was just absolutely freaking Deadpool. He was like,
he had a hip transplant. Hip replacement surgery.
Oh, is that what it was? Holy shit.
A few years ago, apparently. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just crazy scenes. And listen, you don't, I mean, it's appalling the behavior of the Alkmaar fans. They've got a reputation, those ultras, a bad reputation, as do a certain element of West Ham fans too. But I mean, you can't help but respect the dude who gets involved in, there must have been 50 of these balaclava numpties trying to get out of them.
There was absolutely zero security. And if people were looking around, where's the police? Where's the security? Why is this happening? It could have got really ugly. If it wasn't for him just eating the snot out of everybody, it would have been really, really bad.
Yeah, exactly. Let's move on, shall we? As promised, we've got a special guest today, CPL Commissioner, CSB CEO, Mark Noonan, back on the show for the first time since, I think, your first week in the job. Mark, welcome back.
Yeah, I think I've lost a lot of hair. It's gotten grayer since then, and it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
I was going to say, like, when we spoke to you last time, you were fresh, you know, looking forward to the job, and then a lot of stuff's happened the last year or so. Honestly, what were you expecting, this kind of firestorm on numerous fronts when you took the job?
Yeah, I mean, my first boss kind of put it to me pretty quickly. He said, you know, we get paid to solve problems. And, you know, we have some problems. We're going to continue to have problems. And it's actually not a bad thing. It means people care and that there's things to discuss and have dialogue on. It certainly has been challenging and it's been frustrating in a lot of cases because, you know, I want to see the sport of soccer compete against baseball and basketball and football and hockey and everything else. I don't want to see the sport of soccer competing against itself. And that's the thing that's most frustrating. And I'm hoping that we can all join together as we head into the Women's World Cup this summer and then head toward the Gold Cup in 2026, you know, as one sport.
Well, let's start with the CPL, shall we? Obviously enjoying its fifth season, ups and downs the last number of years. And up very much right now is Vancouver, making its debut this season. Yeah. So far, it seems like to be a big success, albeit very, very early. Let's get your thoughts just on Vancouver's addition to the league.
Yeah, it's awesome. Not only is it a new team in an important market, but you know, it's led by Rob Friend. And so here is a decorated Canadian international who's transitioning from being a great player to being an owner in his home country and building a cathedral to the sport with his money. And you know, I think Rob and Josh Simpson, these guys have got to be celebrated and recognized for giving back to the sport. And, you know, building leagues is really hard, and it takes a lot of money, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of effort, and you're going to make some mistakes. But, you know, the fact that, you know, one of Canada's own has come back and built a cathedral in Vancouver and is giving back to the community. It's just such a thing that I don't think is celebrated enough.
Well, Mark, yeah. You're certainly right about the sport feeding on itself and shouldn't, and we shouldn't be doing that to each other. But that's really something that we've seen historically in this country, that sort of things happens, unfortunately. And battling through that is obviously a challenge. What is the latest on York United? Is there some groups coming in or interest in that organization now?
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in the league itself, which York is an opportunity, as we all know, that we need to correct, and we're doing that. And the reason why we actually made the deal with York's former owners is that we wanted to make the transaction as smooth and seamless as possible, so a new ownership group can deal directly with me and my leadership team and our board, rather than it being convoluted with a third party. So it's been business as usual at York, and it's the conversations that we are having around not just York, but around the league are as positive as I've seen since I've been in this seat.
Would the goal be to keep York in Toronto, or would you be looking to move that franchise into another city?
Yeah, the goal is, Toronto's the fourth largest city in North America. You know, we can have more than just York in Toronto, but the goal is to have great ownership playing in the right facility with the right conditions to be successful. And, you know, we're in the process of considering all options, whether that, you know, continuing it at Lions Stadium, perhaps going to a different venue, perhaps building a new venue. You know, part of that depends on the new ownership that comes into that the market. But we're open to building a sustainable businesses wherever those are.
Yeah, I mean, there was hope, obviously, with Edmonton, too. Sorry, Craig. There was hope with Edmonton, too, right? It didn't work out, obviously. Had to move on from Edmonton. So you are confident, though, that, you know, there will be football, if not necessarily in that stadium, York will be an entity this time next season?
Yeah, absolutely. We're confident in that, where we sit right now. And you know, some people have heard me say this before, but 21 years ago, when I was at Major League Soccer, I authored the press release folding Major League Soccer. At the time, we had 12 teams, and thanks to a guy named Phil Anschutz, we decided to only fold two teams, Miami and Tampa. And we went down to a 10-team league where you could buy a franchise for $5 million U.S. Phil Anschutz himself owns six of those teams, and we only had two other owners, Bob Kraft and Lamar Hunt. Yesterday, MLS announced a new expansion franchise in San Diego for $500 million. You have to take a couple hits along the way in order to grow a league. And we've had to do that in Edmonton and in York. But I've never been more bullish or confident in our ability to continue expanding this league, learning those lessons that we've learned so far.
You know, Mark, when you look at fan experience, we talk about that, and Hamilton or Halifax is a really good example of that. You know, you've got this beautiful little stadium, it's tight, you've got a fan experience around it, so you build literally a party around an event, and then a soccer game breaks out. When a young league, what you have here, is that important to build that? Because, excuse me, I look at York United and that whole just the university set up there, it's not really a place where you can tailgate or there's bars around or that sort of thing to sort of have that experience. Is that something important? Edmonton was the same. You know, they're out there by Commonwealth Stadium. It's just a really dour kind of area. There's nowhere really to, you know, to gather. But the places with that fan experience seem to do very, very well. Is that important moving forward?
Yeah, I think it is. It's all about providing, you know, value for the entertainment dollar. And in a place like Halifax, we're fortunate of the location of where that stadium is. you know, that people can go and, you know, walk down to their favorite pub and then go to the game before and after. And, you know, that does make a difference. And that's going to be a consideration, both from an expansion standpoint and whether we, you know, what we might do with York. But when you can have that combined with great football on the field, it absolutely makes a difference. But, you know, I think first and foremost is, you know, we have to make sure that that our product is right too, and that we continue to work on the actual football product, not just the entertainment value of that, but also the asset value of that. And we've, you know, one of the things that again, CPL is starting to do, we've placed, I think, 5 guys on the Canadian men's national team that have come and played in our league in a very short period of time. And as we expand that pipeline through our relationship with the, you know, League One and operation of that franchise, and getting closer with the clubs that that are developing players, you're going to see more and more of that. That's going to help the product on the field, but also help the Canadian national team as well as the asset value, because ultimately we're going to have to sell a number of those good players to more established leagues and reinvest that money back into, you know, continuing to build out the product.
Yeah, you mentioned League One, and that's, sorry, Amy, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, the same link talking about League One, and you do the comparison or talked about how that feeds into the national teams. So the Whitecaps, their elite team, their Rex team, just won the FIFA Youth Cup, and I was I accompanied Quebec's version of that team in France last month, and very good results against the likes of PSG. So it's clear that our talent stacks up against the talent in Europe and the rest of the world. But where we're lacking is that infrastructure after the fact. So you've been doing good work developing the League Ones, but how do we then apply that to then success and resources available to our youth national team so that that pipeline that you talk or that you speak of is really robust and we're really feeding them into success and springboarding them into potentially professional careers or just successful national team tenures?
Yeah, I mean, we can control what we can control. You know, I'm proud to say that there's been, I think at the highest level of League One, there's been 2,000 men's players that have come through there and 1,500 women's players. And if you look at the stats, about 10% of every one of those, so about 200 on the men's side and 150 on the women's side, have gone on to play professionally. And you know, that League One in 2014 had 9 teams. This year we're going to have 161 teams. You know, we've rebranded League One Quebec from PLSQ to be League One Quebec. We're, you know, doing a pilot in the Maritimes now, and we're working hard on the Prairies to really make that a fully national development league. We have hosted the first women's interprovincial national championship last year, which is going to continue at this stage. And, you know, we're doing what we can, by the same token, you know, trying to give as many opportunities at CPL to promising players, because the only way you get better is, you know, playing against really good players. And, you know, the nice thing about CPL is it's a pipeline. And as we add teams, that pipeline's only going to get bigger and bigger. And as you all know, players develop at different ages too. You know, you have some players that won't develop till they're 22, 23 years old, but if they don't have that opportunity, then they'll never get there. And I think what we are is providing that opportunity.
And obviously you signed Costa Smaniotis recently as well, to help on that development side of things. Right. Great hire, obviously. Has there been any conversation about League One dropping to a U23 league at some point? I know Jimmy's mentioned this before.
Yeah.
To help the developments and the pathway.
Yeah, I think all of those things are in kind of our consideration suite right now, and that's one of the reasons why I hired Costa, because he has great experience in terms of what he did to build Sigma with his brother and what he's done at Forge. So he's got a pretty unique viewpoint on how do you connect that pyramid from the grassroots all the way up through the professional level into the national teams. So, you know, that's part of his mandate, is how do we connect that, and how do we take, you know, let's say some of the best clubs within League One and continue to work with them to raise the standards, whether that's facilities, whether that's broadcast, whether that's, you know, how they're training players, whether there's competitions. So it's a work in progress, but between Costa and, you know, guys like Josh and Rob, we've got a lot of football minds thinking and working on it.
Mark, see with League One as well, a lot of the teams are operated by clubs, which are not-for-profit organizations.
Yeah.
And when you do raise the standards, a lot of the clubs find it difficult because of resources.
Yeah.
Do you think at some point down the line, you'd be looking to maybe take these franchises more or less away from the non-for-profit organizations and give them to individuals who want to own outright clubs?
That's a great question, Jimmy. I mean, many of these clubs exist through pay for play, and you know, that's a model that's pretty prevalent in Canada and obviously in the U.S. And that not only is a challenging model, it certainly has the opportunity to exclude those that don't have the resources to, you know, to enter that system. And so I'm not positive I've got the answer for you as we're talking right now, but you know, anything that we can do to reduce barriers to entry, whether it's at League One or affiliating with our clubs and making it as cost effective as possible, we're going to do that. If you have any ideas, I'm all ears.
I'd love to share them with you.
Well, we'll hook up the meeting pretty soon between two of you. Okay, how about that?
Right.
Mark, as mentioned, you know, earlier, you know, so you arrive in the job last year. In this firestorm just erupts, player revolt with the CSB being front and center. In your opinion, it's been mentioned already, I know, but does the current deal need to be revised? And if so, how far along are you to revising the CSB deal?
You know, CSB has been used as a pawn in a labor negotiation. Let's call it what it is. And I am sick and tired of CSB getting bashed. CSB is the creator of over 500 full-time soccer jobs in this country. CSB is the reason why we can continue working to expand League One. CSB is giving opportunities to the likes of Drew Becky to continue his playing career and then move into the front office, or Jordan Wilson to move into broadcasting, or Jelani Smith to go into, you know, continue his technical career. And as it relates to the agreement, you know, we have made many overtures toward Canada Soccer, including one very specifically on March 7th of this year to the former Secretary General that I wrote under, even though we're under no obligation to do so, here's an opportunity that we think we can help. And I'm still waiting for a response to that. And so the ball is in Canada Soccer. We want to do our part. We think we can play a really important role. But at the end of the day, this is a labor dispute. You know? And you know, we're not at all involved with that. You know, we've offered to help in any way we can, but we are, you know, that's between Canada Soccer and the men's and women's national teams.
Is it about increasing the amount of money that's provided to Canada Soccer by CSB? Because is it realistic to expect them to run their national programs on ballpark $4 million a year?
That's, you know, we have made an offer that would increase the money going to Canada Soccer, even though we're under no obligation to do so. And we're a fraction of the revenues that go into Canada Soccer. So we're being used and accused of doing things that are so opposite of what's happening in the real world. And it's because it's a labor dispute. You know, WestJet and its pilots just fortunately, you know, got a deal done late last night. But even, you know, something like that, it's contentious, it's hard, it's emotional. But for us to be positioned as the bad guys, you know, couldn't be further from the truth here. And that needs to stop. It absolutely needs to stop.
That's fair. But I think you also have to look at the recent success with the men qualifying for Qatar, the women being Olympic champions, and then there not being tangible increases in revenues. in terms of what CSB is responsible for bringing back to Canada soccer. So why is there not the increase that you expect to see, and who's responsible for that increase, you know, not being there if it doesn't exist?
Amy, you don't know what the particulars of the deal are. There are bonuses that are built in there. There's increases go every single year of that deal. And we proactively went to Canada Soccer with an offer to open up and add even more money, which I believe would add a considerable amount. So there are discussions that are going on right now with the leadership that we hope are going to be productive. But by the same token, players want to be paid, right? And I respect that. I'm a washed up player. Many of you guys are. I got a brother who's still an active coach, and coaches always want bigger budgets. I don't know a coach who doesn't want more resources. I don't want a player or a player agent who doesn't want more money in their players' pockets. But if all the money's going into one pocket, you can't complain that there's less money in the other pocket. And so there's a finite amount of resources. No matter what we do at CSB, there's a finite amount of resources that Canada Soccer needs to decide, how do we best serve our mission? And part of our mission is paying our national team players to honorably represent the country and giving them the tools that they need to be successful. Part of our mission is working with the provincial soccer organizations to grow the game. Part of our mission is to grow the game at all levels. And how do I balance that? And that's really something for Canada Soccer to do. You know, we provide one piece of funding, a small piece of funding in the grand scheme of things, to Canada Soccer. They decide what to do with the macro piece of funding. And candidly, if the players are being paid to represent their country, and then, you know, things like business class airfares and private chefs and all the things that are necessary to have great programs, you know, there's only a finite amount of money there. And so Canada Soccer has to make trade-offs in order to make that happen.
I think you said that March 7th was when the proposal was put to Canada Soccer. You're still waiting to find out, get a response. Obviously, there's been a big leadership upheaval, you know, between March 7th and today, or close to it. Would you consider that the relationship between CSB and Canada Soccer is being acrimonious at all at this point? It seems odd they wouldn't get back to you by this point.
No, I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of changes over there. And, you know, it's that's well documented. And now you've got a Charmaine who's been elected permanently for the remainder of the term. And you've got a new acting secretary general. And so now that has been, you know, decided and solidified, then we're hoping to get some feedback on how we can be helpful. But we're not the bad guys here. We are doing our part, but recognize that we are only one piece of the puzzle and one part of the equation. And if you look at what we are investing to build the game, there's not a single one of our investors who's ever taken a dollar out of this. In fact, as well documented, they're over $100 million in the hole. And so, you know, for us to be positioned as the bad guys is really unfair. It needs to stop.
I think that you're in a certain points there. You're absolutely bang on, Mark, especially when you look at our budget nationally. Unfortunately, we're next to the United States, and we compare ourselves to them far too often. Yeah. There are tens of millions more dollars in their budget than we are, and there's only so much to go around. What are we at, about 30 million? So if the players are going to take a massive chunk of that and they want champagne money, you're going to get beer quality, you know, facilities and getting ready for tournaments. The money's just not going to be there. I don't believe there's a pot of gold in Canada sitting there somewhere either that is going to increase massively. So there is a negotiation to go around by everybody, including the players, because just isn't enough. We want to work on our youth programs. We want, you know, which is so important for attracting players, potential players that could play for Canada. We don't have that money. We don't have enough money to prepare the women properly for the World Cup because there's just not that money around. And I think the economics of it need to be understood by a lot of people, including the players. And there might have been some issues along the line, but the bottom line is that there's a this isn't going to be a massive increase in budget in Canada over the next few years. I just don't see it.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I was shocked when I came into this market. I used to run integrated marketing for Gatorade in the U.S. And I saw the size of our Gatorade deal here. And I'm like, where's the rest of it? And particularly with the benefits that we were giving them. And I was like, wait a second, that can't be. And like, no, it's actually a pretty good deal relative to the size of the market. So I had to adjust my own expectations. It's not an easy solution for anyone here. And I think all parties have to do their part and make sacrifices. And that's what we've tried to do as it relates to, voluntarily going back to Canada soccer. Here's how we would like to contribute and help. And we're just waiting for a response on that.
So to that end, you talked about when the women were in the She Believes Cup and then forced back to work. And you talked about wanting to be an ally, perhaps working with Canada soccer to provide a stadium for a send-off game. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, if that's halted because Canada soccer hasn't gotten back to you, how do you think you position the CSB and yourself in regaining trust from the fans, but also from the national team players? What are the steps that you take in order to advance in that regard?
Can you restate that question? I'm not sure I understood it.
Well, I talked about you publicly stating wanting to be an ally with the women's national team and tangible ways to do that.
Yeah.
Then I said Canada soccer maybe was preventing you from actively doing so. But then I pivoted to, you can answer that if you want, but I pivoted to how do you regain trust amongst the players, but also from the general public?
I don't know how we lost trust from the general public, and we've invested well over $100 million with zero return into the sport. We went to Canada Soccer, and we fundamentally believe that the women's team should have a send-off game on home soil. And we offered free stadiums and say, okay, we'll give you this stadium for a send-off game. And it didn't, unfortunately, they didn't, couldn't schedule it for whatever reason. But we're trying to be an ally. We're trying to be helpful here. We believe that that Canada soccer is success is our success. But we're not the bad guys here. We're not the only people who are part of the solution. We all have to come together on it. And, we can make offers, and if they don't get accepted, then so be it.
But don't you think it's fair to say that the public perception, whether it's true or false, is that you guys are the bad guys?
Of course, because we're, being used in a labor dispute. And, that's the nature of these things.
But obviously out of time here. It's fair to say though that there aren't multi-million dollar sponsorship deals lining up on your desk, piling up your desk each day. How far away would you say Canadian soccer is to getting to the point where those deals are being signed?
There's a lot of things that need to happen. There needs to be harmony. Right now we're taking these little guns and pointing them at each other as opposed to saying, This sport of soccer can be the biggest sport in Canada within 10 years, I believe. But we have to get aligned and start realizing it's soccer against everything else, not soccer against soccer. And I can't tell you the damage that this dispute is having in the marketplace. I can just give you countless examples of CIBC not wanting to be on the jersey that they've paid for because of the dispute in some cases. Very tangible examples of the labor threatening partners who are trying to promote the game. There are, you know, players themselves who have taken money from CSB that are bashing CSB, yet they're happy to take money from CSB that we broker and put in their pockets, yet they're very happy to go in front of commissions and bash the big bad CSB because it serves their purposes. And that's got to stop. That has to stop.
There's nobody else in this country from any other sport. We are on our own in this development. We have two major communication companies with Bell and Rogers. Nothing's going to get achieved because we've seen this happen decades, to be honest.
Yeah, it's frustrating for sure.
And you guys have probably seen our CRTC filing, where we are going directly at that monopoly and spending a lot of time and a lot of money filing that CRTC filing, and we're hoping it's going to make a difference. But we're not just sitting back and letting it happen. And people, nobody wants to say, "Hey, CSB, great job! You're taking on the big bad distributors of content here who aren't doing the right thing by soccer." But it's easy to point the finger at us as being the bad people. But we're spending millions of dollars on things like that.
Yeah, how did that surprise you, shock you, frustrate you when you came here and saw what Rogers and Bell were doing to block one soccer from getting to terrestrial TV?
That's a much longer discussion, but we need wider distribution of soccer content in this country. I can unequivocally say that, and we're working really hard to do that. And One Soccer is doing a great job, so we just need it to get more widely distributed.
Can I get one last one in?
Sure, one last one, Amy. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Save my hardest one for the last. Yeah,
I've got it. It's got to be quick because I have a hard stop now.
Okay, I'll do my best. So, as an American living in Toronto, do you enjoy it?
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Great city. Great people. I wish I had more time to get to know it. I'm spending a little bit too much time in the office trying to build this wonderful game in this country.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for this. Appreciate the time. I know there's some tough questions there, but questions that need to be asked. And we'll have you back on, hopefully, in the near future.
Yeah. I'd love it, and I really appreciate what you all do for the game. We may not always agree, but we have to come together and build this sport because if we don't, nobody else will.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
That is Mark Noonan, CEO of CSB and Commissioner of CPL. Interesting chat there, guys. I mean, sadly, I'm not surprised or shocked that Canada Soccer have not responded to a proposal put by CSB. And then without knowing those numbers, who knows what that even looks like. But what were your thoughts on that specifically? I think that was probably the big thing out of that interview, was that a proposal is being put to Canada Soccer who are yet to respond. And that was, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah, I don't understand, really, and I asked Mark about, who's responsible for, haven't been able to capitalize on the success of our national teams in terms of revenue, but also just tangible evidence of it, whether, you're walking around or like a feel or a vibe. So, I mean, are they jointly responsible? Is it, but, if Canada Soccer is, CSB is coming at them with something that's technically positive and they're not getting back, like, that's problematic. I know there's been a shakeup, there's been a changing of the guard, new people in, but how can you not be proactive? How can you not work on something? And maybe we don't know all of the details, but the Women's World Cup is coming up here. the CBA is still unsigned. Yep. There's so much unknown. And those women, again, I've said it before, they're going to be expected to get results, even though they've been undercut and undermined and underfunded in the lead up to this World Cup. And that, to me, you can point the finger squarely at Canada Soccer.
I thought it was interesting as well, where he said, "We tried to help with a send-off game, and here's a stadium. Play the game in there." I mean, at the end of the day, it's not up to the CSB to organize that game. That's up to Canada Soccer. But I'm sure there's an awful lot that the CSB has done and put forth that we haven't heard about. So it was good to get a little bit of an insight. And I understand what you're saying. And he's mentioned it there too. We just don't have the money in this country. It's not America where there's 350 million people that live there and there's money to go around. Here, it's slim pickings, trying to get anything.
Oh, it's true. I mean, it's sad. I speak to you know, fans of the game over here, and they just assume there's these contracts and deals sitting there worth tens of millions of dollars for Canadians. It's like, no, that's just not the reality. I wish it was. Of course we do. Yeah. And maybe one day it will be, right? But like, Gatorade's not dropping $50 million on Canada Soccer and saying, hey, we'll be your health, fitness, drink. No, yeah, it ain't happening.
We don't have the population. The value for those big companies is not here. It's down in the States. You're not getting that money.
That is better than what we're getting currently. So, you know, are we at a tipping point where it eventually is going to be more? I wish you would have spoken a little bit more openly and given concrete examples of how they could be doing a better job in terms of garnering that sponsorship.
Yeah. Well, you look at Project 8 as well, the money that you guys are trying to generate. As much as you want to get millions and millions, it's not happening at the moment because the sponsorship dollars are just not there. The value for these big companies is not here.
But I think there's a marked interest for wanting to sponsor a women's professional league, you know, after all the Hockey Canada bullshit and you know, being let down in kind of your traditional sports. There yeah. really is an appetite to fund
There's an appetite, for sure there is. But at the end of the day, when these individuals are putting down money, their own money, they want to see value. And what's the return? It's nice to have a gesture and say, oh, here's a couple million dollars, you know, put that towards your project. But at the end of the day, when they're talking $10 million, $20 million, there's got to be an ROI. Otherwise, they're not doing it.
Yeah, but it's not going to be an ROI tomorrow or next year or the year after. You know, I'm repeating myself, but yeah. big leagues like the NBA, which are massive money makers now,
yeah.
suffered losses early on. There has to be investment, whether it's in a women's league or in a CPL initially, so that you eventually do see a return on your investment. You have to have that initial, you know, money being put down and not expecting anything in return and expect losses. But you have to put that investment in initially.
Right. But that comes from an individual's pocket, right? Now, if you want to return and say, okay, you know, we're hoping that in 10, 15, 20 years, that's got to be a long-term project where they're going to say, I'm willing to lose $100 million and hopefully things take off here in Canada. Mm-hmm. And for even the league now, the owners losing $100 million collectively. I mean, there's only so much money to go around.
I think that as a part of it would be, I think with the women's push too, Jimmy, though, they've got on their side is the fact there's a goodwill here. It needs to be done. It hasn't been done. We as corporate, you know, sponsors of other sports and other things have not been there for the women. And now it's about time that we do. So there's a certain amount of goodwill. We're certainly going to need that goodwill to be able to make it work in the early years. So we just know that because we've seen that with the men's CPL. So, but I do think that there's potential there and looking at what, well, Amy knows this inside and out, and what we've seen with Diana Matheson, she's doing some incredible work out there looking for that good. And I think she's had some success doing it.
Yeah, she's got some good partners. And don't get me wrong, I want to see somebody come in there and go, there's $50 million for soccer in this country. Let's grow it. But
yeah,
it's a tough ask, especially in today's market.
Fun times, eh? Remember when Canada actually qualified for the World Cup and how great we felt and wow, this is it. This is a tipping point, everyone. Men's, women's, we're going to benefit. It's going to be great. Wow. Finally, we have arrived. Here we are. And never be more distant and separated, I don't think, ever.
Right in the shitter.
Right in the shitter. Yeah. We're all trying to keep our heads afloat of those turds. Yeah. There's a way out of that bowl, though, Amy. There's a way out of that bowl, but it may take a few years.
Yep. Actually, I have a funny story with Campbell, one of the twins. We were going into the grocery store after soccer practice the other day, and my husband makes smoothies every morning for the kids. So he's like, get bananas, but also get some shitty bananas. But I didn't think the kids heard, like, shitty bananas, like, you know, the spotty ones that maybe are half off, right, that we freeze and put in the smoothies. And so we're in the grocery store, and we'd split up, and I was over in the veggies, and Evie and Campbell were getting the the bananas. And then I just hear, because there's hardly anybody else in a grocery store, Campbell going, Evie, don't forget the shitty bananas. And it's like, oh, fuck. I guess he heard. Yeah, so that's where we are right now.
She's in her filthy mouth, Amy. Jeez, I mean.
Yep, Canada soccer, shitty bananas.
Ripe bananas are better for you. The riper they are, the more healthy they are for you.
Yeah?
But for a shake. So you freeze your bananas, do you? You freeze your bananas. Do you slice them first?
Yeah, or just, because if you put them on in the freezer with the peel on, it's a nightmare. So you either have to slice them or you just kind of break them into big chunks and then you just put them into the blender frozen and it's great.
Yeah, because I do mine fresh usually, but maybe I'll start doing that because often I throw out a black banana and it's like, oh, what a waste. Unless, of course, we're making banana bread, in which case.
Banana bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But slice that up and put it in a freezer and there you go. Ready for your smoothies.
I'm going to cut up my banana this weekend.
Put it in the freezer. Poor Tony.
Or lucky Tony. Hey.
There's not much to cut up.
No.
Three cuts.
Three cuts. Is Tony's nickname Lorraine by any chance?
Lorraine Bobbitt.
Holy shit.
All right. Well, listen, that was a great show. I think we covered a lot today. A lot. But our thanks to Martin Noonan, especially for joining us. We know we'll reach out to Canada Soccer as well. I'd love to get Charmaine on the show. I'm not sure she'll come on, but we will certainly make the request. Why shouldn't we? All right, everyone. That's Footy Prime. We're back on Monday morning, recapping the weekend, the penultimate weekend of the Premier League season. Twice, and I pronounced it beautifully both times, unlike Appalachia. All right, have a good one, everyone. Laters.
You keep buying newspapers.
Cheers for listening.
Follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig.
Apoplectic.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.